You already know what time it is, man. It's the Boom Bap Hour. It's another day, another dollar. We up in the building.
What's up, y'all?
Yeah. Oh, man, we got a special guest up in here.
Yes, very, very special on this beautiful Saturday. We are so blessed that they chose to come here and join us today. We have Darryl Brown.
Okay.
Son of the legendary, I mean, really, you know, needs no introduction, James Brown, godfather of soul.
Gets no better than that.
We are so blessed to have him here today on our podcast and his beautiful wife, Angela Brown, as well.
Angela. Just don't ask me to do the mashed potaes, that's all.
Hey, listen.
I don't mash.
You don't mash the potatoes.
Yeah, I don't do the
potatoes. You don't do the potatoes. Yes.
That's what's up, man.
So we're so excited to have you here today, and definitely just really, you know, of course, this being, you know, James Brown's home, the godfather of soul, you know, definitely everywhere you look around the city of Augusta, you see a symbol of James Brown. So we all are able to see him, you know, and remember him as far as, like, you know, of course, in the spotlight, and, you know, definitely just the impact he made on music, and especially hip hop, you know, 50 years of hip hop, you know, he is hip hop, you know what I mean?
Right, no doubt.
It was definitely, but we definitely get a chance to, you know, just get to know him behind the scenes and, you know, just see what he was like. You know, and there's no one else better to tell that story but you.
Well, I'll do my best.
You do your best.
I do my best. She also was my boss, so.
Okay. You know. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so. Pay the cost to be the boss, no doubt.
There you go. So, what would you say? I mean, you know, you got a chance to, you know, really be close to your dad. Like, what was it like growing up and having James Brown as dad?
It was. He was strict, man. He was very strict. I didn't talk very much.
Okay.
Because he did all the talking. So that's how it was. You know, it was just an environment. I was so young. So I was always looking and observing everything that was going on. So it was just one of those things, man. You know, you just can't explain.
Right.
You know, he was a hard, because I was scared of my father. I was scared of him. I was
Who wasn't? Who wasn't? You had to have a healthy amount of fear of your parents.
Yeah.
Right.
That's called respect.
Yeah.
That's all.
But that's what it was. It was basically all respect, you know, out of everything. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, when I started really traveling with him and going on the road, it was just strange. It was just a strange environment to me, you know, because I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, no. How was it growing up in New Jersey?
It was. It was what it was.
It was what it was, right?
What city in Jersey?
In New Brunswick.
Okay, New Brunswick.
Okay.
Yeah. That's North Jersey or South Jersey?
Actually, it was right in the middle.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, but I was never really aware of who I was when it came to James Brown. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Right.
You know, it was my family that was around me, always kept reminding me. But me, myself, you know, I was really scared of my father.
He said that.
I was scared of him.
He was really, because you said that.
You know, he was strict, and he was always, but it was music all the time. You know, it was music all the time. Business all the time. Even when he's talking to you, that's business.
Right.
You know, so I can remember the good times, fun times, though. I can remember that because that was when everything kind of relaxed. Mm-hmm. But not too long right after it relaxed, it get right back to James Brown.
So he just switched it on and off.
Yeah, huh? It was right back to James Brown, you know. So, but it was a great experience for me. You
right.
know, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. You know.
So having so much of a influence like that in your life, how would you say that growing up with him, as far as like, you know, all of the ethics and principles that he had and strictness and, you know, the business acumen and everything, how do you feel like that impacted you in your life?
Well, in the sense, you know, I'm like that with my children.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm like that with my own kids. You know, I try not to be because I catch myself, but I'm like that with them. You know, James Brown comes out.
Okay.
You know, it comes out, you know, somehow or another, you know, because that's all I basically know.
Right.
You know, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
And wow. With them, they, so you just treat them the same,
It just trickled on down, right. Basically. You know, and that's how it goes.
Right, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, know. See what your father do, you do. Yeah. Imitated almost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt. Word.
So at what point, so you started music early. What was it, like age, was it five?
About 5 years old.
Five years old.
Oh, okay. Man.
About five years old. I started playing drums when I was about four. When I started really playing, you know, drums.
Okay.
You know, and I used to beat on the couch. Because I wore the couch out. My mother always brought me sticks home, but I wore the couch. It was just totally tore up. She'd just buy another couch, you know. But the encouragement was always there to play, you know.
Okay.
I didn't realize who I was until later, and to who my father was and all that stuff like that. That came later. It was a great experience, man. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. Matter of fact, I miss it.
And you know, I find that very interesting too, that, you know, like you said, that you didn't find out who your father was, like, or I'm not going to say find out who your father was, but basically like the magnitude of who he was didn't really hit you until later. But early, you still found yourself intrinsically following this musical path. You know what I mean? That it was just like ingrained in you. So I mean,
I just
think that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really just still in me. But that's when I found out where I got it from, where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know,
when I started traveling with my father and doing things as I got younger, I found out where it came from.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, why I do the things I do.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. When did you actually start, like, traveling and, like, touring with your father? Like, at what point did you start doing that?
I'm trying to think what age that was.
Well, like...
Nine.
You mean playing with...
Not necessarily just playing, but he's just traveling, really traveling,
About nine years old.
He was nine?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Because I had moved down here, and I went to a private school called the Mill School in Florida.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay,
down here,
Teddy and Terry and all.
Okay,
we went to school down here.
Wow!
So that's when I started really, you know. But I'm from New Jersey, you know, so.
So it was an interesting transition from north to south, right?
Yeah, right.
There was the other private school that he also went to was in Florida.
Yeah, the Mill School.
Yeah.
How was it in Florida?
Coming
from Jersey.
It was, you know, when I first got there, I remember my mother brought me. And when I first got there, I was so happy because I was going to be swimming and everything. And as soon as she left, I got homesick. So that went away. As soon as she left, you know. But, I mean, it was interesting, man. I mean, I learned a lot. I think about the things that I know now.
Okay.
That came from that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And isn't it, like, it kind of gets even more beautiful, like, the older that you get, and then, like, you look back at some of the things
it has more little revelation to you now.
It
all comes so clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so, you know, because how I am with my children.
Right.
You know, that's how clear it is now. You know, I see why my father was like that with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a great father. He was, a great teacher. You know, And I used to be scared of my father. I
mean, man, you said that. Dude, you really was. You really, really was scared of your father, man. Because you done said that like five, six, six, seven, eight times. He was really. So just as he was with his music, he was with his children, huh? With his family. Just as he was with his music, he was with
the same way.
Same way, huh?
He was the same. James Brown was the same all the time.
All he ain't never changed.
All the time.
All right, I got a question.
Everything was business.
Did you guys have to call him Mr. Brown, or did you get to call him Daddy?
Well, if I'm referring to something like to you,
right,
I would say Mr. Brown wants to.
Okay, gotcha.
You know that way. Okay. You know, but it was Dad. You know, all the time. Okay. But I'm saying, if I'm talking to you and I have to go get you for something, Mr. Brown wants you to.
Okay.
That's how it was.
I heard that was like a big thing with him.
Yeah,
man.
I had to
call him Mr. Brown. Well, that's what's up, man.
Wow. So what do you feel like, if you could say, you know, said or unsaid, because sometimes we learn things by them telling us, and sometimes we learn things by just watching. So what would you say the biggest lesson, or I would even go as far to say advice, if you did say that, that you feel like that you gained from your father? What was like some of the biggest lessons you feel like to stay with you to this day?
Being a man.
Okay.
You know, standing up for what I believe in. And that's what I learned from him. You know, and don't let nobody change whatever you be, your own man. He stressed that a lot. You know, and that's what I got from him.
Okay.
You know, whatever you do, son, you know, this is your show. This is your life. You know, you be your own man. Mm. Not my man, but your own man.
Okay.
You know. And that's what I learned from my father. That's why I take away what I think about him all the time. I think about that all the time. You know, that, you know, he was a man. He was a man's man.
A man before anything. That's what's up.
When you think of where he came from, he had all things against him. Everything. Mm. And he made it, man. He made it happen. Because, and he's funny, he said, you know, son, I never wanted to be this famous. I said, well, I can't tell. I can't tell, you know, because your drive is just so great. You're the only person I ever seen with drive like that, you know, and that's how he was, you know. But when he said that, you know, he said, son, I never wanted to be this famous. What? I don't believe you, you know.
You wear it well.
When you're talking to my father, you know, you're saying, "Dad, listen, no disrespect, but I don't believe that."
I mean,
and he laughed.
Super famous.
Yeah. I don't believe he was. I believe you had a. This was a God's gift that you were put here for this.
You know? Yeah. And then when I think about you think about how, like you said, he had all the odds against him. For him to, because sometimes when you find success, you don't know how you're going to find it.
No.
You just are just going day by day until it, you know, it's just meant to be, you know, and it just comes that way, or God just ordains it to be, you know, it presents it in front of you. So it's like to think about like how it is now versus how it is then. And just for him to overcome all of those obstacles, especially just against like black people in general, just, you know, to even be able to get through all of those obstacles and be able to, you know, push through all of that, you know, it's just amazing.
It is amazing, because I don't know if I could have did all that, you know, I mean, it's God, you know, it's a gift that he had. It is something he had to do. You know what I mean? That was James Brown. That was just something that he had to do. He was driven every day he got up in the morning.
Mm.
Constantly. I mean, you know, when you had a good time, when you laughed with him, you treasured that. Because that didn't come very often. It was all seriousness.
Wow.
Constantly.
Huh. You know, constant wake seriousness. Up.
And you see why he had what he had.
Mm.
Because that's how you had to be.
So what was his routine like when he was getting up in the morning? Like,
get his hair done.
I figured it.
Cause I'm look good if first. Anything. Yeah, that's number one, right?
Yeah, he got to look good. You know,
the first thing done, you do is mess with the hair.
That was the routine. You know, and see, he had people doing his hair.
Okay.
See, you know, that's why I never got a whatever that type of hair. I never. I had to comb my own. He had people helping doing his hair, helping put his shoes on. Folding his socks. You had a certain way you had to fold his socks. And you had to fold them, and so they just put them right on. You know.
So, oh, wow. Hold on. Wait a minute now. You said it was a certain way had to be folded to put them on.
Yeah.
So he could just put them right on.
Yeah, because he's just sitting there, and they doing everything.
Hold on. They putting on his socks.
Yes.
They dressing them.
Oh,
Brother Brown was
like Prince Hakeem.
Like
Prince Hakeem. Right, that's not the first thing I thought of.
And he was on the phone.
They babying him too. He had the women.
He got the rose petals.
Made rose petals and everything.
Every day I wake up, it's business. I'm talking to you, it's business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how he was. You know, because he was on the phone and everything, and they putting the socks on and everything. You know what I'm saying? That's how he was. But he paid them cats. Too, you know, you know, they took care of James Brown.
They took care of him.
They meant so much to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know they had to take care of him for them to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you don't do what you do, you don't eat.
You don't eat.
You don't work. You don't eat.
He made a song like that. You know that, right?
Yeah, he did. He did. You don't work. You don't eat.
Speaking of eating, tell him a story about how your father, when you guys were in different foreign countries and it was time to, you know, to eat dinner, everybody's at the big mafia table sitting, and you know how it was when it came to ordering the food.
Well, I as I got older, I learned not to be like, but anyway, everybody used to order what he ordered.
Okay. What he liked to eat,
whatever that was, you know. It was all kind of stuff, man. It was, you know, I mean, now that I think back, it was, you know, it could have been chicken, steak, you know, and he liked chicken wings.
So chicken wings.
If you didn't like chicken wings, you had to eat it because that's what he basically ordered.
Yeah, everybody, you know,
except whatever my own heart, love some chicken wings. There you go.
Hold on, wait a minute. So everybody had to.
Everybody.
He said, you don't eat these chicken wings today.
Eat these chicken wings.
Everybody. He said, well, why did you get that? Why you didn't get this? You know, he ran everything from top to bottom.
Wow.
He did not play.
No, he didn't play. He did not play, man.
You said he was
that's why, you know, he was James Brown. That's
right.
There's only one in the world. There will be another. Nah, another.
I don't think so. Not like that.
Yeah, man.
He's one of a kind.
He's one of one.
That's it.
Yeah. It's
and
very
now you
amazing.
Know why God put him here.
Yeah.
He had a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even know a lot of things. He just said, son, I don't know. I get up in the morning, I react. I just go. You know, and that's the way it was. You know, I mean, there were a lot of good times. We had a lot of fun times, too.
Right.
But it was strict. It was always, you know, it was... The fun didn't last. You cherish all the fun times. It didn't last long, but you cherish them.
Yeah. What did he like to do for fun?
Whatever it was he wanted to do that day, I guess.
I can see
you know what I'm saying? It was about James Brown, man.
It really was about him.
It was about James.
Everything. Brown. Everything. It's all about me.
Was he into sports at all?
Yeah, I mean... You tell him, because he played all the sports, so you ask him, no. I mean, he know about all of it.
Okay.
You know, he was a boxer. He did the boxing.
Well, he did that when he was younger. He was a boxer, you know.
Okay.
We saw that in the movie. He did say that in the movie, that he was
now
a boxer.
Now, how accurate was this movie?
Yeah, you would definitely let us know.
You shaking your head over there.
Yeah, it wasn't.
What you say over there?
I love the movie. I love Chadwick. I mean, I love, you know, I do love the movie, but he's It's all wrong. There's a lot of stuff.
It's wrong.
Okay, so tell us what was wrong about it that we should know.
I'm trying to think. Well, ask me a question about what.
Well, okay, what about about him going to the House of Prayer and all that, and learning from the House of Prayer, the church and all that?
I mean, he went to church, but I mean, what do you mean by him going to
they showed him.
Yeah, they showed him like he went.
Seeing Daddy Grace in the beginning.
The scene of the guy.
He fell to the floor and like, all that. Right,
I was saying that that's where he got his cape idea from.
It wasn't true to me.
Okay.
I didn't watch, so you're actually telling me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I said no, he didn't want, you know.
No, I didn't want to see it. Because I knew it was a lie. It wasn't.
I'm saying off the rip, he said.
It wasn't the truth.
Yeah, they left out Uncle Danny. Danny wasn't in it.
Danny Ray. You know, all kind of stuff. They left a lot of stuff out y'all missed, man.
Wow.
They tried to make it, they were just trying to sell. It was the truth.
Mm.
That movie was not the truth. It was false.
It was everything fabricated.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
Fabricated. Okay. Yeah. Made for Hollywood.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Wow.
Because they just had his one brother, Teddy, the one that passed away at 17.
Right.
But it was also Terry. And
exactly.
Daryl, you know. Then it jumped into the two daughters, and it was like, what happened with the other brothers? You know, that was a part of, you know.
So when they came together to do the movie, did they, I mean, just like consult, like, you know, they didn't consult everyone, or what was?
They consult nobody.
They just did what they wanted to do. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Found that to be the case with a lot of stuff, and a lot of families come back and say that, like, we have anything to do with this.
Y'all missed, man, let me tell you something. If you weren't paid to see it, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
We got to get our money back, V.
We got to, because we did.
We had to go.
Seriously. You know, I'm sorry you paid for that.
But Chadwick is a great actor.
Well, yeah.
Take nothing from him. Don't take nothing from him. Chadwick or whatever. But I like Chadwick. And what's the other movie?
Black Panther.
Yeah, I'd rather, you know, that because that didn't do him no justice.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Like the scene at the beginning, Dara saw that little part when he went to the office in Augusta and shot the gun up.
Yeah.
That wasn't true.
That didn't happen.
He's like, no. And the lady was, smoking weed or whatever in the bathroom and all of that. Dara was like, no. He was like that. He was like, "What? What is this movie?" He's like, "What is this you watching?"
I didn't watch it.
You know, and I was like,
after that, you was like, "Nah."
I said, "Get on up, movie," and he got on up and.
Yeah, I got up.
He said to get on up. He got on up.
I go outside.
I wouldn't watch it. Because it wasn't the truth.
I was just basically telling him what was happening, what was seeing.
No.
Wow.
I don't want to hear it.
That's crazy, man. That's sad how they do it, but you know, Hollywood.
Yeah, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah, that's Hollywood for you.
They try to get it in and get it out, you know?
Because they really told the truth. Black people would have learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who really learned from that? What did you learn from that movie? Nothing.
You
didn't learn anything from it.
Right.
You know?
Right. You ain't learned much at all.
Exactly. Who the man was, who he is, you know, what he did. You know.
Yeah, I think they needed longer than a movie.
Than 2 hours to just, sum that up.
Man, you need 6 hours.
Yeah, you need a whole, like Roots, how that was. Yeah. Like
a mini-series, something.
And this is where it comes in, the part with Daryl and his business
New edition.
The mini-series that they're working on.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Now, do you want me to bring anybody into this conversation?
Yes,
Ken
Burns.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. let me go ahead and do that here. And let me call up Ken. He going to know who I am. You'll be like, who is this girl?
You call up people.
Now, hold on. All right. Here we go. I'm going to put him on speaker so he will be loud and clear. All right.
Put it to the mic.
664.
He'll probably be like, oh, who is this?
You heard it here first, live and direct.
Hey.
this is Ken.
Hi, Ken. This is Ruby V with the Boom Bap Hour podcast, and I'm sitting here with Daryl and Angela Brown, and they wanted me to give you a call because we are discussing the project that you and Daryl are working on as far as James Brown. Is this a good time to talk?
Yeah, thank you for calling. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Okay. Well, just basically, you know, let us know exactly like what you all are, you know, working on right now.
So we've been working on this for a while. I remember I met Daryl back in like 2008. We were working on some projects then. He would come in the studio, get on his guitar. And so it was sort of like the filmmakers would have the studio during the day and the musicians would have it at night. So it was a really cool interaction and just meeting him. So in 2016, right after Get On Up came out, the movie about his father, James Brown, they had called us. And it was our business partner, Tony, Daryl, they had called me on the phone and they was like, you know what? The movie was cool and everything, but I want to do something. I want to do something honoring my father. And he started talking to me. He knew I was a writer. And he was like, let's come up with some ideas. And so if you guys probably already realized that Daryl's written a book called My Father, The Godfather. And in this book, he details his personal relationship with James Brown, his father. And what I did is I took the concept of the book and I said, well, hey, let's write it as if you're telling us a story, as if it's sort of like a fireside chat. And we're listening to Daryl Brown tell us his father's story on a more personal level. And maybe we can get a little bit more detail. We all know the highlights. We know who James Brown is. We know everything from the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. But do we know the intimate details of his life? And that's something that we decided that if anyone's going to tell that part of the story, it's going to be Daryl Brown telling it. And so that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on getting produced at the moment.
Wow, that sounds really awesome. Yeah, we just was talking about the movie and, you know, how there were some things that were left out. And, you know, he really wanted to, you know, just tell like the actual full story, you know, of his father. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the real truth.
Yeah, get the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Yes, definitely. And when can we look forward to this, you know, coming to fruition?
Well, we've been working on it for quite a long time. So the stages that we're at now, we've already got some of the scripts written. And so we're looking for an investor. We've kind of got some chicken in the pan, if you will, frying already. so we're waiting on some things to happen with one investor that we're dealing with. And we're trying to get a sizzle reel produced. The sizzle reel, I don't want to go into too much detail because it's a bit of a secret, but it is a sort of a story that's sort of a precursor to how Daryl was born.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so the sizzle reel is going to be about 5 to 7 minutes long, and it details how he was born, how he came to be. It's sort of about his mom and, you know, some stuff with James Brown and Joe Tex. I won't go any further than that. And we're trying to get that produced, and then once we get that produced, it's kind of like a live pitch that we can take to, you know, a distributor like a Netflix or an Amazon Prime, and then we can look to get the full feature miniseries done. So just to go into a little bit more detail, we're not doing a movie, we're doing a miniseries. So it's going to be sort of like an episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 that showcases each stage of James Brown's life with Daryl Brown narrating and telling us the story of it.
Oh, that's amazing. And yeah, we were just saying that we felt like, you know, his story needs more than just a 2-hour movie.
Of course. 100% I agree. There's just so many things. Like, I'll give away one detail. Like, a lot of people don't understand that James Brown, when he was born, he kind of died. You know, like, say died. Yeah. It's a little too strong. But he had sort of like a call. And a call is like a veil over his face. So it was like he could have suffocated, he could have passed away, and we would never known who who he was, and you know, a lot of stories that detail his life don't really tell a little detail like that, and how they had to remove the call from him, and that veil was sort of like a premonition. You know, it was like he was something that somebody that was going to be special, and he turned out to be special. And these are things that our story is going to tell that a lot of stories did not tell.
Wow. Yes. And exactly. Because we've never heard that fact from, you know, any other source. So that's really going to, I'm excited, you know, just to see even more of, you know, what you guys have in store for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully we can get things progressing within the next year. So.
Absolutely. Well, Daryl, do you have anything else that you would like to add on that?
No, he said it all.
Right there.
We've been working on this for a while now. Yeah. And that's been the main thing. You know, he's telling everything so accurate. So it's like, I'm just sitting back listening myself.
Yes. Well, we definitely, you know, look forward on the development of this project, and you know, I mean, of course, I think it's gonna be awesome, you know, when you guys present it to, you know, any of the streaming media outlets. And I think it, you know, I know I would want to see it, so I'm convinced. You sold me.
Yeah, the whole truth. So help me God.
they turn out really well, so I think people will enjoy it for sure.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, you know, is there anything else, last remarks that you would like to add, Ken?
I guess, you know, just one last thing on the project. You know, like James Brown knew a plethora of, I guess, you know, other legends like Aretha Franklin and, you know, Tammy Terrell, and like he knew so many people. Michael Jackson, like he was Michael Jackson's biggest inspiration. So he knew all of these people even when they were young and startups. And one thing that we are going to sort of do in our telling of the story is you will see cameos of these people. Like you will see a cameo of Otis Redding, you will see a cameo of Aretha Franklin and Michael Jackson and Prince. You will see these things in the miniseries. So it's a little thing, that's a little nugget that we think would be pretty exciting to people.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. Well, definitely, listen, we are going to be, you know, following you guys as you guys go along and create this wonderful project. So, you know, we definitely will be, you know, here to promote anything you guys have coming out, and just let us know all of the timelines of when it's supposed to come out and premiere, when we can be expecting it. Okay,
you got it. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much today for your time, Ken. You have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You got it. See you guys.
All right, bye-bye. Ken. Well, that was wonderful.
Setting the record straight, huh?
Yeah, can't wait for that to come out.
Yeah, this is like the real story, right?
The whole story.
He told the whole thing. That's what we're working on. You know, we want for the truth, the whole truth, so nothing but the truth.
So help you God.
That's what's up then, man.
Okay, Ken mentioned a funny story, because I watched the show on, I believe it was Cinemax. They had a show called Tales from the Tour Bus. Different experiences that artists had on tour. So James Brown, of course, had an episode, and they were talking about that Joe Tex story about how I think Joe Tex made a song about.
Yeah, well, that was my mother.
Oh, really?
Okay. That was my mother.
Really?
Yeah.
That was your mother?
That was your mom? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe Tex was his stepfather.
Wow.
Well, he was. That was my mother's.
Okay, gotcha.
You know what I mean? They never were married.
So did they really get into married. It like that? Like James Brown and Joe Tex? Because I think they said Joe Tex made a song and put it on the air and told, like, was telling James.
You keep her.
Right.
Yeah.
He told you keep her.
I mean, that's how it is today with everything. You know, everybody.
It's the same exact.
Yeah, things haven't changed right. much.
Ain't nothing changed much at all. Hey, you keep her.
Wow. That is something. So I know there's so many different stories on tour. Is there anything else that you can think of, a funny story or anything people don't know?
We'd be here for years.
Okay, just tell us one or two.
Hold on, y'all went on David Letterman, right? Did you ever go on David Letterman with him or?
That was back in the early.
No, that was like the upper 90s.
Upper 90s. Okay. So what stories you got of us? Yeah, like what you got?
Wow.
I got one.
What? Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
I would have to, you know.
Go ahead.
What television?
The hospital one? No, I don't know if you want to talk about.
What hospital?
You know, you said about your father. Late at night, he loves eating steak.
Oh, he's a steak eater.
if you wanna, you can tell it.
Go ahead.
You're funny when
you can tell it.
Okay, my mind. Okay, so Daryl had told me, you know, his father late at night, like midnight, would want a T-bone steak, you know, steak, potatoes, and stuff. And he used to tell his dad, you know, you can't constantly keep eating that in the middle of the night like that. You're gonna clog up. Oh, you're gonna have some issues. And so they had to take him to the hospital to, you know, get himself relieved or whatever.
Oh man,
Daryl was waiting outside. He said he was waiting outside, sitting in the chair.
We were at the hospital because he had, he got clogged up.
Man. Okay. Tried to warn him.
Yeah, we tried to tell him. But that's because he eats steaks at night, and you don't do that. You can't do that. And he had problems going to the bathroom.
Okay. So, that can happen.
I don't know if I should be telling y'all.
No, listen. We all family here.
We're family here.
This is a safe space. Go on.
Okay, family. But he had problems going to the bathroom, and we was all sitting out there waiting for him, you know. Then all of a sudden, I see my father come running out the he came running up to the, you know how you at the emergency room or whatever, the hospital, not the emergency room, but it was at the hospital. And they were, and whatever they gave him to relieve him, it started working all of a sudden. And he had to, oh man, he came flying out the room.
Oh, he had the bubble guts.
I mean, rolled everything.
He went to the bathroom
and he came out. He said, man. He said, hey, that colonic worked good. He called it colonic.
That was taking...
Because you ain't went to the bathroom. That's the problem. Eating steaks at night.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
You know, that would happen to anybody. Eating steaks at night. Your body don't digest at night.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Especially no red meat like that. Yeah. You know, that's going to be hard
so
to do.
And that's what he's been doing. And so when he said, so everybody was so funny about that, he called it colonic. But it wasn't a colonic. He just said, your ass got loose. Loosen all that shit up. Whatever they were doing to observe you or whatever, it loosened everything up.
Oh, man. My gosh.
You know.
He ordered everybody to get one in the band. He said, he was telling everybody.
As I got older, when I was younger, I used to be like that, but I ain't never listened to him. I eat that stuff at night like that.
You know? Well, that's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Because I knew better then, you know.
Now, you were, one thing that I didn't notice is when you were touring with him with the Soul Generals, that you were with him when he got his Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2002 BET Awards. And guess who made an appearance at that? Infamous Michael Jackson. Tell us about that. How was that experience?
I thought it was, you know, it was weird because nobody knew he was coming.
What?
Let me ask you something. When he came, did y'all have to turn y'all backs or something? And not look, because I heard he don't like looking in your faces.
No, nothing like that.
Like that.
They kept it a secret.
Mm. Oh, they kept it a secret? He didn't even know.
So if you guys actually saw the clip, you actually see Daryl was actually in the front.
Right.
Playing, you know. And, you know, at the end of it, that's when he came walking. And you see Daryl's face, like everybody, you know.
That's you still up there looking excited.
I thought it was a
right smack dab in the front.
Yeah, I thought it was like, I thought it wasn't real because Michael don't look real anyway. You know what I mean?
Oh, snap. So, oh, I thought it was real. He like, said Mike don't look real.
You know, but my father didn't know that he was coming though. He didn't know.
Wow.
And that was a surprise.
How beautiful was that, though?
And, because that was Reverend Sharpton put that together.
Okay. Reverend Sharpton. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Don't shout out to Reverend Sharpton for doing
Reverend
that.
Reverend Al.
Reverend Al.
But he
there
had put go. That together.
Now, Reverend Al Sharpton and James Brown, they was real close, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
that what you said, that close, yeah, kind of.
they were, you know, I don't want to get into it. They had a love-hate relationship, in a sense.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know.
That's how my father got involved, because that's how my father met James Brown and was friends with him through Al Sharpton.
Okay.
Wow.
And then that's how I got to meet him when I was 3 years old in Brooklyn, because Al Sharpton had an office down there, and James Brown was there, and I actually, my dad took me, and I got to meet him going through the crowd. He picks me up. And he's bouncing me, and I still remember the smell, because I was like, man, Daryl, your dad smelled good. You know, I was 3 years old, I was smelling. He said, oh, my dad was always having the colognes. And he was just bouncing me up and down.
Okay.
And I'm looking at him, and, you know, he was telling my dad, oh, she's, you know, he's like, pretty little girl, Johnny, she's a pretty little thing. Wow. Oh, what's her name? And my dad was like, Angela. He's like, oh, Angela, this pretty little girl. And all of a sudden, I'm staring at him, and I'm looking at his hair. And I was like, man, he's got curly hair like my mom. And I, you know, 3 years old, you touching on people and stuff. So I was raised my hand. I was about to put my hand in his hair. And he quickly dropped me down.
Put her down.
And tapped me like I was a puppy and said, oh, okay, yeah, you all right. You know, I'm like, why is he hitting me in my head? I get home. Mm-mm. My dad takes me home. And I'm like, Mommy, that man hit me in my head. My mom's like, what? He goes, wow. No, he didn't. He was just touching. She was about to touch his glory, his crown.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
She can't touch him. You know, oh, I was like, so what? And he was like, so what? It's James Brown. You know, and I was just like staring like, what is going on? You know, and ever since then, I would just laugh as I got older. It was like, you don't play with the hair.
But don't play with the hair.
My fingers was like trickling, like I was about to just, you know, I wanted to touch his seat, saw it, and he was like, boom.
Nah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, one thing I know, James Brown don't play.
No.
That he don't play.
No.
But man, I tell you, you know.
But as he got older in life, you know, he lit up a lot.
That's good.
It usually happens as you know, you get older.
Because he realized life is short, and all the things that he was so hung up on, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things he also, James Brown, missed because he was like that.
Mm.
You know.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Well, I know one thing. When I saw your bio and just like the pictures of when you were young and everything, you definitely were like his twin. You're like his twin. I'm serious. I'm like, oh my gosh, you look just like him. For seriously.
I just got my mother's color, but.
That happens.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, we do appreciate y'all for coming.
I appreciate
on the Boom Bap Hour. That's definitely love. We, especially James Brown, you know, dealing with his influence in hip hop and stuff. So we really do thank y'all.
I appreciate
for showing
it.
Up.
Yes, and as far as any projects you guys going on, like, do you have any social media? Anything we can follow? Something that so that we know, you know, when your miniseries come out, everything. You have anywhere we can find
you? You get first exclusive.
Okay.
He has a page. I have to get it going back updated. I do, well, like I said, I am his manager and wife, AC Productions and Management on Facebook. And then I do have my fan page. So what I can do is, you know, give you some links and you can follow it. And also, I love it here. I love you guys. I also
thank you.
We love you too.
Want to tell, you know, everybody about the Boom Bap Hour.
Please.
And you know, thank have you. Them follow you guys, and yeah, most definitely anything that, you know, when it comes up, including my projects. I will be the first. I will call you guys before anybody, I promise.
All please right, do. And we will you. Share it with everyone that we have on so our much. Page. So thank you so much for coming. It thank was you. Definitely a pleasure. Thank you so much for reaching out to us. And we are just so glad that you guys were able to, you know, come and visit with us today.
All right. You already know what time it is. It's the Boom Bap Hour, baby. And we up out of here.
We out, y'all.
Peace.